Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Do please be seated. So today is the first Sunday in Lent. There's no getting around it. It's here, now. And once again, it has snuck up on us. Only a couple of weeks ago, we were still in Epiphany. And now Lent is here. People all over the world have been thinking about what they should give up during Lent. Maybe it's the same as every year. Sweets and chocolate, or maybe alcohol, or something different. And this week I heard my six-year-old godson is giving up a computer game for Lent. And I could emphasize, I give up computer games for Lent. Now, you may not think this is something that I sit around doing a lot of, because I don't have a lot of time. But I actually have people I chat to on these games around the world. It uses my brain using word games, but I give them up for Lent. And I can actually encourage him, I hope, because I know the pain of not turning on the computer game and starting that up. But Lent's also a time where we might take something up or start something new. Something to help us draw closer to Christ during these next 6 weeks. It's always a dilemma, balancing the idea of giving up or standing alongside Jesus in his temptations or doing something spiritually new to help us grow closer to God. But why do we put ourselves through the misery of giving up something? Why should we align ourselves with Jesus during his temptation in the desert that we heard about in just one verse of the reading from Mark's Gospel? Unlike the other Gospels, when we have a full story of what happened, we just have one verse here. Well, I think that for today's readings, we can put the temptation of Christ into the context of his ministry. And then we can take up the theme for ourselves into our own lives of ministry. It's not all about temptation and giving up. It's about our focus on God. And that's important during Lent. So chapter 1 of Mark's Gospel starts with John the Baptist preparing the way for Jesus, baptizing people for the repentance of their sins. Then Jesus himself, the sinless one, is baptized by John. And we hear God's voice affirming Jesus in the new ministry which he has been baptized into. Those wonderful words, "You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Then immediately Jesus is sent off into the desert to be tempted by Satan. But all the while he has those words of affirmation ringing in his ears. "You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Over the next few verses of the chapter we hear that John is imprisoned. Jesus gathers his disciples. He starts his teaching ministry. He drives out evil spirits, performs healings. And the chapter finishes by saying that people still came to him from everywhere. This first chapter of Mark's Gospel sums up Jesus' purpose. And it gives us, 2,000 years later, a purpose for ourselves. We turn to Christ. We imitate his life, his work, and teaching. It's a noble call for each one of us as Christians that we have to discover after our baptisms, whether that happens as infants or as adult believers. We may never have to drive out evil spirits, but we are called to be a people of prayer, to have compassion for the sick, and to hold them in prayer before God. We are to teach others the good news of Jesus, so that even today, people will still come to Jesus from everywhere. However, it's not all plain sailing, and we will be tempted from time to time to give up on our calling to follow Jesus. And sadly, some people do. I'm sure we all know people who were very devout in their faith, but have walked away. And I wonder why. I wonder it's maybe that they've forgotten, or maybe they've never heard God speak those words of love to them. We too are God's children, united into his family through our faith in the redeeming work of Jesus. And he says those words to us too. You are my children, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. I think that's a great idea to meditate on during Lent. You are my children, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. But we leave Mark's Gospel for now and head to the first letter from Peter, written, as it says in chapter 1, to God's elect, strangers in the world, who have been chosen through the Spirit for obedience to Christ. I've deliberately left out some of the words because this sermon is about what we have all been called to, a life of obedience with Christ. Peter is writing this letter to encourage Christ's followers to keep on going, despite persecution, despite fear of what others may say, because Jesus has called them to follow him in obedience, and we still need to be encouraged to keep on going in our own lives. As it goes on to say in verse 18, "For Christ died for our sins, once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to the death, to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit." Whether you've been a Christian all your life or become one recently, or at any stage in between, it's good to remember those words, that Christ died for our sins once for all. And it wasn't just a quick or easy death. He was tortured, treated like a common criminal, mocked and rejected by those people he had come to save. And yet he still did it. For you, for me, and not just for every single person who has ever believed in his name, but for everybody in the whole world. I think that our obedience is a small price to pay for that incredible act of mercy which Jesus performed for us. It's what calls us to stand up to temptation during Lent. It's what calls us on to continue in our ministries for Jesus. I think Peter may well have been thinking about obedience when he refers to Noah and to those who have been cast into hell for their disobedience to God. In our Old Testament reading from Genesis, we heard more fully about God's covenant with Noah, which Peter reminds us about, that God promised to never again flood the world and destroy its inhabitants because of the obedience of Noah to God's call. In this story, we see Noah as a forerunner of Jesus, who was obedient to God's call. And it was Jesus who ultimately saved the world through his own death and his resurrection. However, Peter contrasts Noah and the other seven righteous people who were saved from the flood, which wiped out the inhabitants of earth with everybody else. All of those whom Jesus died for, all of us being unrighteous sinners. But interestingly, the theme here isn't saved from water, but through water. Peter has turned to the idea of baptism, the symbol of water which cleanses the exterior and purifies the interior of our bodies. I confess that I hadn't really before meditated on this passage, but verse by verse I found new insights which really excited me. Peter is saying through this idea in verse 21 that the act of baptism is our pledge of a good conscience towards God. So what we have to find out and take up is our call of obedience, our call to follow and obey Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Our conscience is that inner feeling or voice which acts as a guide to the rightness or wrongness of our thoughts and our actions. Everything which is contained in our understanding of the word soul. Our souls are cleansed through the water of baptism, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ who died for us, sinners that we are. And because of this, we are able to listen to the Holy Spirit guiding and leading us into that obedience, which we are called to profess as our response to God's mercy and grace. So back to where I started, Lent. If we only put ourselves through the hardship of temptation, of giving up or taking up at this particular time of the year, without focusing on those affirming words of God that he is well pleased with us, then we are missing the point. We are missing out on the joyful obedience of knowing God's call on our lives, for now and for eternity. Well, I wonder how we can do this. Well, this year has been designated as the year of prayer in our diocese. It doesn't mean that we're only praying during this year, as some people have thought, but it's a time when we can focus on drawing closer to God and deeper in our love and understanding of what he wants us to do. There will be a number of diocesan events during the year to help each one of us, for example, to follow a new spiritual discipline or undertake a pilgrimage. I encourage you all to look at the resources available on the Diocese of Chichester website for the Year of Prayer. There's some really interesting things that you can do there. And right now, during Lent here, we can try something new. Maybe following a Lent course in your house groups, or here in Compline on a Wednesday evening, or maybe even on your own. Spend time reading the Word of God and asking God to help you understand it more. Maybe find in the passage something new. God does that through the power of his Holy Spirit, who came to you at your baptism. The challenge of this sermon from the words of Peter's letter is that we are called to be a people obedient to God and to stand against temptation. We are to be people of prayer, to have compassion for the sick, and to hold them in prayer before God. We are to teach others the good news of Jesus, so that even today, people will still come to Jesus from everywhere. As I close, let me pray for us all. Lord Jesus, we ask you to help each one of us during Lent and into the future to learn how to submit our lives in obedience to your will. Show us how we can rejoice in times of suffering as well as in times of joy, safe in the knowledge that you have made it possible for us to call God our Father through your suffering, death, and resurrection. Send your Holy Spirit to guide us towards living wholeheartedly and unreservedly in your kingdom, here on earth and in all eternity. Amen.